Well, thank you for Paul and his the commissioning you gave him, but also the way you gifted him and gave him a heart that is like yours, that deeply loves those who preach the gospel to. And thank you for the wisdom and the authority you gave him to teach. And so we pray that you teach us, and you teach us about prayer, and you give us wisdom and encouragement in our prayers this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people are especially, we might consider especially gifted in prayer. Some people, might have what we call a gift of faith that's expressed in prayer, who are devoted to this ministry, really believe that God hears and answers prayer and works powerfully through our prayers, and that is absolutely true. But some people really devote themselves to this ministry. One of these is William Carey's sister. William Carey he went to India in 1793, and he's known as the father of modern missions. Now, I actually don't know a lot about William Carey. I've heard about him, I've heard about his sister, and I do want to know more about him, but I'm just sharing a little bit of what I do know. So he started some schools for the poor in India. He was actually, for some reason, in the British part of India, didn't want him around, so he went to other parts. He was an Englishman. Started some schools for the poor. He opened a theological college. He translated the Bible into Bengali, Hindi, Sanskrit, Assamese, and two other languages that I can't pronounce. But he did an amazing work. But what was also amazing was the work that his sister did, while she was back home in England. She was a sister who was bedridden for years. She was almost completely paralyzed for 52 years. That's an incredible time to be suffering that kind of condition. But the amazing thing about her was she was an active partner in the gospel with her brother through her prayers. And so for a few hours every day while on her bed, she devoted that time to praying for her brother's ministry and for those who followed him as they also joined in that missionary work in India. Every letter she received where he shared his difficulties and his challenges, she used that information to turn it into prayers for him. And so we understand that prayer is an act of partnership. It's a gift of God. God invites, he calls us to pray, and he enables us to partner with him through our prayers. And God is honored, but also God works through our prayers. Then that prayerful ministry is a real and active partnership. And so William Carey's sister had a real part in the mission in India. She had a big impact on that mission field. She's a great example of what it looks like to be a person of prayer. Now, not all of us may aspire to be like that or have the capacity to spend hours every day. In fact, it will require different circumstances, different life stages for us to devote that kind of time. But we all do have the same privilege of prayer. We all have the same Heavenly Father, our Creator God who sustains all things. We have the same privilege to partner with God and with each other and with God's work in the world through our prayers. And if we're honest with ourselves, as those who are followers of Christ, then we'd like our prayers to be better, wouldn't we? We would love to pray more. We'd love to be more focused in our prayers. We'd love to pray more biblically informed prayers. And we'd love to pray with our hearts, our minds, and our whole body. That's what it looks like to be fully engaged in conversation with someone else. To be fully engaged physically, mentally, emotionally. And so prayer is growing in prayer in a way that is more than superficial or mundane. Deep down is what all of us want, and it's what God also wants for us. And I want to suggest that one of the best ways for us to grow in prayer, we can do a whole series, a multitude of prayers, but here's just one way for us to grow in our prayer lives as partners in the gospel in prayer. And it's this, it's to read, study, and learn from the prayers of Paul. Read, study, and learn from the prayers of Paul. Let Paul's prayers, as he prays, as he models God-centered, God-honoring prayers, let them transform and guide and motivate your prayers. And so we're going to do that this morning by looking at this one prayer that Paul prays. It's a short prayer, but it's a prayer at the same time that takes thought and reflection and intention to think about what he's praying for and how it shapes ours. And as we study, it has the potential to lift our prayers from the mundane and the routine to a prayer that seeks the very best and seeks the glory of God. That ultimately is what Paul prays for. And just a quick reminder of who Paul is praying for the Christians in Philippi that have been partnering with him in the gospel from the beginning, since he shared the gospel with them and then he continued his travels. They've partnered with him. Paul thanks God for their partnership. He prays with joy and with confidence in God's work, which we looked at last week, and then he shares in verses 9 to 11 what he prays for them. And so this is what he prays. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul prays that their love abound more and more. The word abound is not a word we use colloquially these days. It means that it means to be excessive. It means to be full. It means to be overflowing, abounding. There's just heaps of it, more and more. Paul prayed that their love would abound, would increase more and more in the knowledge of God. Paul prays for these Christians, for this group of Christians in Philippi, that their love would increase and grow. And it reflects God's own desire for us. God, Jesus says, the two greatest commands are to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of our being to love God. And then out of that love, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And elsewhere in Paul's other letter to the Thessalonians, Paul's desire for them, this prayer for them, is reflected in where it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. This is what he says to the Thessalonians. He says, "Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia." Isn't that incredible? They didn't just love themselves, they loved all of God's family, all the Christian brethren, brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia. They already did. And yet, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. It's an ever-increasing love. This is a far cry from mediocre Christianity, of just being content with the status quo. It's an ongoing, full and overflowing love for God and for one another. And that's what the Christian life looks like. It's one that's ever going forward. it's true that the Christian life is like riding a bike up a hill. You know, as soon as you stop pedaling, you go backwards. But as you keep pedaling, you make progress. You go forward, you keep being filled. And in a way, you know, growing in our love for God is necessary because our love easily diminishes, doesn't it? Our love is easily drained, our love is easily becomes self-focused. But Paul prays that our love would grow more and more. It's a bit like the two water tanks back in Wewak, where I grew up. We had two water tanks, which were extra water that we'd collect for the use of washing or for boiling if we ran out of town water ran out. But just imagine, you know, the two water tanks are not only full, but they're overflowing, they're gushing over with water. That's what Paul's praying, that our love would increase for each other more and more, and not just ourselves, but for Christians everywhere, God's church in Sydney and around the world. Paul prays that our love abound. Reflects a big vision of who we are as members of God's people and of God's work around the world. It's a big, even an excessive prayer. It reflects the heart of Paul and the heart of God, who wants the very best for them. And as their love grows, not only will they be blessed, but others will be blessed through their love. And so this is, even as we pray this prayer, it's a prayer that will keep us from being mediocre. You know, in our Christian lives, won't it? If you really pray this, if you really believe this prayer is a God-honoring prayer and a prayer that we should pray for one another, we would want to grow and we want to see others grow, and it would energize our spiritual lives and our prayers. But it's a prayer it's a prayer for love that's not based on pure emotion, not based on pure energy or gut feel. It's a prayer, as you'll notice, it's a prayer that grows in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul prays that our love would abound more and more in the knowledge of God. That as our knowledge of God grows, that our love for one another grows. It actually goes back both ways as well. As our love for God and one another grows, so our experiential knowledge of God grows. And this is the second thing that will fuel our prayers. So I want to pray this for love to abound, that our love to abound in the knowledge of God. And to know that we have this incredible spiritual resource, the Word of God, which is able to equip us for every good work, able to inspire us, to motivate us. The knowledge of God in Christ, in what He has done, in His death and His resurrection, and the pouring out of His Spirit. The knowledge of God's holiness, God's perfection, God's mercy, God's justice, God's love for people and for families and for the lost. All this gives direction and purpose to our prayers, gives us wisdom to make the best choices. And it's possible. It's possible for us to be faithful Christians. It's possible for us to be loving towards others, but yet to be loving without knowledge. You know, we can think we know what's best for someone, and yet not be any help to them. So, for example, you know, every Christmas, you receive a Christmas present from a family member who genuinely loves you, and they go to the effort to go buy clothes. You know, the thing that always gets, you know, t-shirt or scarf or shorts. But they never get your size. They always buy it too big or too small. They never get the color that you want or the fashion that you want or the size, and you never wear it. You never truly wear it. And you might even tell them diplomatically, you know, it's not really my style, and you know, I prefer this color. Maybe you know, get something else, but no, they keep going for it. And the same is true, you know, of our love for God and for each other, unless it is informed by the knowledge of God, can actually be misdirected. Can actually remain mediocre. Can actually not build others up. Can actually even lead others astray in a worst case scenario. And so it's essential then that that our love grows in the knowledge of God, in the wisdom that God gives us. And this is why, you know, this is why we have this goal this year of delighting ourselves in God's word. And we're not just dependent on passive hearing of the Bible, but active personal reading and engagement with God's word during the week and in partnership with others, so that our love for each other, for God and for the world, might ever increase in the knowledge of God, in the wisdom that God gives. And this is the outcome. The outcome, there are actually three immediate outcomes and one ultimate outcome. The first outcome is that we would know what is best. And this is my prayer, that your love may gain more and more knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. And that word discern is not just about intellectual knowledge. It's another translation in ESV uses the word approve. So discern, to know, it is actually an active knowledge. To know and to choose what is best. But to approve what is best. To know and to choose what is best. So this is what will happen. If our love grows in the knowledge of God, we will choose, will know and live out what is best, the best that God has for us. We'll pursue what is best. We'll desire what is best. All our choices will be shaped by the wisdom and the priorities and the character of God. The way we use our time, our money, what we read, how we spend our time and how we relate to each other will be shaped by the knowledge of God and what is best. And it will lead to us being pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus. We'll be the purity thought about, the purity of heart, the sincerity, the devotion to God. And this blamelessness is not about being without sin, but it's about a life that is faithful to God, like a faithful steward or a faithful employee. That employee is not perfect, but he or she is blameless because they're a faithful steward. They've been reliable. They've served their master. They've been pure and blameless. And the third outcome is that they'll be filled with the fruit of righteousness. That they'll be filled with the fruit of a godly life. See, they won't just be avoiding sin, but they'll be active in serving others. They'll be active in love. And all of this is for the day of Christ Jesus. That is, Paul is praying that we would know what is best, being pure and blameless, in anticipation of that day when we will be fully mature in Christ. As we seek to live now in light of what we one day will be perfectly. Because we know that is the great goal. That is God's great goal for us. That is our goal for ourselves. To live today as citizens of heaven. To live today as an outpost of heaven while we are still here on earth. Pursuing what is best. Being pure and blameless. Living a godly life. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And all of this, all of this comes from God Himself. So our work, so even as we live out this life, becomes an answer to the prayer that Paul prays. It's an outcome of God's work in our lives through the gospel. And therefore, because it is God's work in us, therefore, goes back to God in glory and praise to Him. It's to the glory and praise of God. Well, isn't this it's a big prayer. It's a short prayer, but it's a big prayer, isn't it? It's a short, and it's even a simple prayer if you break it down, if you understand it. And yet it's a prayer that takes genuine learning and study and application and it's a prayer that we can learn to pray. It's a prayer that we can learn to pray. If you believe that God is your Father in heaven, if you believe that God has commissioned His church to make disciples of all nations, if you believe that God has called us to partner with Him in prayer, and that God works powerfully through our prayers for ourselves and for the world, then this is a prayer we must learn to pray, because it would lift our prayers from the mundane and the routine. And as God answers this prayer, it would lift us to a new level of maturity and of love and of faithfulness to God and of joy in the Holy Spirit. So let us pray. Let us learn to pray as Paul models prayer for us. Pray that our love will increase in the knowledge of God. Pray that we'll know what is most glorifying to God. Let the glory of God as defined by God's word shape our choices. Let the knowledge of God shape our prayers for how we use our time, how we invest our mental and physical energy, how we view our possessions, our wealth, our time, our abilities, our relationships. Let God's word shape the content and the priority of our prayer. So that we would grow more and more to be what this prayer prays, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Filled with the fruit of a godly community, passionate for Him. Fruitful, productive. A blessing to others, bringing the gospel to the world. The glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we want to confess that so often our eyes and our vision is not shaped by your vision and your gospel and your words. But Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you might impress these words on us, not only this morning. for the rest of this week, and then praying that even this week we might put into practice these words and these priorities, that we can pray one sentence of this prayer every day this week until it becomes our prayer, prayer that is engraved in our desire for ourselves and for each other, for our world and for those that we want to reach. And we pray all this, that as you have worked in us and through us, that your name may be praised. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen.